This is the FCB Radio Network, home of the best personalities and where real talk lives. Online at FCBRadio.com. FCB.
Great faces when they drop jaw. Food chain says top dog. We don't listen to y'all, this the outlaws. We don't listen to y'all, this the outlaws. Make them scream out loud like a sound dog. Cause a ruckus in the crowd like a foul ball. Tune in, it's the charge for the outlaws. Tune in, it's the charge for the outlaws.
Welcome to the Outlaws. This is Darvio the Kingpin Marl alongside Robin O'Malley. Dante Bry is not in today. Don't forget to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheOutlawsRadio. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Outlaws Radio. And make sure that you subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcast. And if you listen to this show on Apple, please make sure you leave us a 5-star review. And a comment is very important for the algorithm. And for those of you who've already done so, thank you oh so very much. We have a very special guest on the show today. But before we get to that, Miss O'Malley, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Pretty chill. How you doing tonight, Darvio?
I'm good. How was your week?
Long, as usual. You know, motherly things.
Yeah, you had that pregnant pause again. I know we got tea time a little bit later. Can't wait to see what you got in that segment. So stay tuned for that. But first, we have a very special guest on the show today. He is a political commentator. He is someone that has become a homie, a friend, a brother. He's the only person that I would allow to call me a thug in public to a cute girl, which I'm not joking. He's done that. he is the host of A Fresh Perspective with Jeff Charles, and he is a contributor at redstate.com. Jeff Charles, welcome to the show. How you doing, sir?
Hey, what's good, man? I'm doing well. I don't even remember doing that. I know it's something that I would do, but I don't even remember doing it.
I had to tell somebody, man, on Twitter today, you said something derogatory in Italian. And someone wanted to insert themselves in. I'm like, yo, this is brother business. This is between me and my brother. You go over there. Like, we understand what's been going on here.
Right. It's always funny when people inject themselves into something that they don't really know about, but you know, it's Twitter. Exactly. It's supposed to happen.
So how you been, man?
I've been good. Been nice and busy. Not too bad, but yeah, try not to get overwhelmed. That's my challenge right now, but it's a good challenge.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely plenty of things to talk about, plenty of things going on in the news.
Yes.
So speaking of which, let's just go on and get to the ish. Obviously, today, the day that we're taping this, the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict was in. He was found not guilty. I want your thoughts on that, the verdict and just the case in general. But for me, those of you who've listened to the show, you know, I said this last week, I think a bunch of things can be true at the same time. I think it can both be true that he was an idiot who shouldn't have been there in the first place. And every adult in his life failed him by allowing him to insert himself into a dangerous situation. But having said that, once he got in that situation, and things happened the way that it did, from everything that I saw, it looked like self-defense to me. And I thought that the not guilty verdict was a correct one. What say you?
Yeah, you know, I agree. Like, I was concerned about the verdict for a while because it was taking the jury so long to deliberate. And that usually kind of spells, you know, something negative for the defendant. But in this case, it didn't. And I'm on the same page. I know a lot of conservatives don't like when we say this. I don't care. He shouldn't have been there. There's no reason why a 17-year-old should have been in that situation. I was joking with my cousin last week. You know, if we had done that at 17 years old, we wouldn't even make it to the trial because our mothers would have killed us. And if by some miracle we survived, I would not be mentally fit to even stand trial because of the how badly she would beat me. So no. Right. No. Yeah, so y'all can miss me with the whole, you know, it was okay for him to be there. Yeah, it was legal. That doesn't mean it's a good idea. And with all these people saying that we shouldn't say that he shouldn't have been there, how many of them would send their 17-year-old into that? Yeah, none of them would. So it's okay to acknowledge that and to also acknowledge that just because he did something stupid did not give these men the right to attack him. And when this whole thing first went down, I kind of reserved judgment a little bit. I was like, you know, this doesn't look good, but I'm not really sure what happened here. There's a lot of different angles. I'm going to wait. Because at first it was looking like maybe he was wrong. Maybe he did go around shooting people. But as more facts came out, as I read the police report, as I read, you know, different witness testimony, I was like, yeah, this is looking more and more like self-defense. And in any of these situations, whether it's a police shooting or something like this, I always have to think, what would I do? If I were in that situation, I would have shot them too. And it's a tragic situation. I mean, I don't like that people died, but I don't see what else you could have done. When somebody tries to grab your gun, you have to shoot. What else are you going to do? Unless you're able to get it away from them. And if you can, then great. But when you're talking about like the carry community, like people who like to conceal carry, when you live in that world, one of the first things that they tell you is that if you get into a bad situation, don't go shooting, you run away. You run away. Don't try to be a macho man. And guess what? That's what he did. He only shot when he was cornered and couldn't do anything else. So to me, that's kind of where I stand on this whole thing. I know how the left is going to use this to promote a narrative. I mean, and in some instances, I don't fully disagree with them on certain things. Like, you know, we'll probably talk about this, but if you were a Black person, would it have gone down that way? I think it probably wouldn't have, but maybe it would, because there have been, people are making some good points about other cases. But I think all in all, the verdict was apt. It made sense. And I guess we'll take it from here. I mean, the next part is the spin cycle. They're going to spin this whole narrative and we'll see what happens.
Right. We're talking with Jeff Charles, who is the host of A Fresh Perspective with Jeff Charles, a contributor at redstate.com. Make sure that you subscribe to a show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you get your podcasts. The point that you just made is something that, you know, we kind of talked about to some folks on Twitter earlier today. The argument of if he were Black, would this same thing have taken place? Would he have been able to get to court and have a jury of his peers find him not guilty? And my argument was this. I firmly believe that if he had been Black, the things, it would not have played out that way, that he would not have made it to court. He probably wouldn't have even survived the night. However, that doesn't mean that I want someone else to be unjustly convicted.
Right.
It's the logic makes absolutely no sense to me. If we're going to talk about people being unjustly convicted, the way that you address that is to make the system just, perpetuate more injustices onto other people. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I agree to. And I've been seeing that argument. And you know, I'm not sure that they're making the argument that they should have convicted him and just perpetuated more injustice. But in a sense, some kind of are. I mean, but you're right. The solution is to make the system more just, not to make it less just, to make it equally unjust. I mean, that's silly. Like you don't want to make it equally unjust. And it seems like that's what some of these people want. But, you know, when I think about it, you know, I'm like, yeah, it's possible he wouldn't have made it out. Because part of me does say that, yeah, if he was Black, this would have been a whole different story. But then when I think about it, I'm like, let's say the situation was the exact same. And the only thing that was different is that Kyle Rittenhouse was a Black person and he was maybe with Black Lives Matter. And he shot three MAGA people, people with MAGA hats that were trying to attack him. The one way I think he would survive that is the fact that the left and the entire media establishment will lift him up as a hero. They would be putting him on a pedestal. His legal fees will be paid. The media would be applying pressure to the courts and the justice system to make sure it may not have even gone to trial. I think that that's how they would have reacted, because they're not principled. They don't really care about what happened here. They don't care about self-defense. What they care about is the politics. So since it wasn't that way, that's why they wanted him to be convicted. But if it were the other way around, they would be defending him. They would be shouting his praises from the rooftops. I think it would be a different story.
And I think that's fair. I think that's a fair assessment. I just think that we have ample evidence to show that normally it's very hard for a Black person to win a self-defense case. Sure. You know, I know someone personally, actually, a very good friend of mine who's been friends of mine for years, who had to shoot someone in a clear, no doubt about it case of self-defense, had a legal gun and everything else, and was still charged and essentially forced to plead out because of an overzealous prosecutor, which is also something that we don't talk enough about, right? I mean, if we're looking at the Kyle Rittenhouse case, and I'm probably sure that you probably feel like I do, that this case was pretty weak to even bring to trial in the first place. This says a lot about an overzealous prosecutor. So if you're someone who supports criminal justice reform, you should want to be talking about what can happen when you have an overzealous prosecutor.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's something that we don't talk about enough. Usually when we're talking about criminal justice reform, we're talking maybe about prisons, we're talking about corrupt police officers, but we don't talk about the prosecutors. And the prosecutors can be just as corrupt. You know, and I was seeing a lot of this stuff on Twitter. I mean, and I've heard stories in the past about prosecutorial misconduct. How much does that get punished? I mean, how often do prosecutors get held accountable when they abuse their power? They are arguably worse than police officers, because police officers can arrest somebody, but that's their total job. That's all they're supposed to do. Prosecutors have to determine whether or not to even try somebody. And a lot of times prosecutors are not concerned with justice. They are concerned with winning a case, making sure that they don't lose a case. So I think that is also something that needs to be looked at, which it makes the issue so much more complicated, because criminal justice is already a complex issue. But I mean, it has to be looked at. I mean, that has to be addressed as well. And it doesn't get talked about enough.
No, absolutely. And I think this is a perfect example. And it's unfortunate, because we see the right and left fault lines all the time. You and I, and among others, of course, including our, I start to say label mate, because we refer to each other as Death Row Records, our colleague, Kira Davis, talks about this as well. We call out some of these fault lines, but it's unfortunate, because if people would stop going to their camps, you know, you could really look at the Kyle Rittenhouse case as an example of prosecutorial misconduct. And it further reinforces the fact that you need criminal justice reform.
Yeah, it does. And it is unfortunate that we just retreat into our echo chambers. And even what we were just talking about, I mean, if the sides were switched, yeah, the left would be celebrating him as a hero, but the right wouldn't be. The right would be doing exactly what the left is doing now. And it's really sad. I mean, and realistically with this case, I think the only reason I think that if Kyle were Black, that he still would have gotten off is because it's a high profile case. But if it wasn't high profile, I would agree wholeheartedly. If he was Black, this wouldn't happen, just like what happened with your friend. But this echo chamber situation that we have going on, this partisanship, it's killing us. It is very dangerous, and I don't think that anybody sees it. We can't solve problems when we look at every single story or issue or situation through the lens of partisanship. It should be that somebody can see a case like this, take politics out of the situation and say, okay, what are the facts of the case? I mean, what happened? But no, it's got to be political. Nobody cares about truth anymore. They just care about how do we get one over on the other side. Criminal justice reform ain't going to get done if this is our mentality about it.
Right. Absolutely. And I always like to paraphrase, and I know Dante uses this quote as well. I like to paraphrase, you know, Malcolm X, when he said, to the extent of, you know, I'm for truth no matter who it benefits. Right. Like, it's at the end of the day, it's about what's right. It's not about whether you can score points on one side or the other. And on that note, we're talking with Jeff Charles from A Fresh Perspective with Jeff Charles, and contributor at Red State. On that note, it's really bothering me to see people try to turn this into a race issue. I don't understand how in the hell you got a white dude that shoot three white people, and this is an example of white supremacy. I don't understand what the hell they talking about. To me, this is a white on white crime case. That's the way I see this. Now, obviously, as an American, I care about the outcome of the case because, again, I care about what's right, no matter who it benefits. But as a Black man, I could give a damn less about this case. This case has no impact on me whatsoever as a Black man. The other case that we're going to talk about in a little bit, that has more of an impact on me as a Black man. So what are your thoughts about people trying to make the Kyle Rittenhouse case a racial issue?
Well, it was white on white crime. And what I want to know is where were their fathers? Why is their culture like this?
I mean, I see what you did, dude. Hey, I ain't gonna lie to you though. My mama been asking the whole time. Like, she was like, where's his daddy?
It's a valid question. but here's the thing. I mean, it's amazing to me that these white men were in that neighborhood trying to torch a gas station, setting fires to a dumpster, trying to destroy property in a Black neighborhood, but Kyle Rittenhouse is a white supremacist. That is some of the dumbest you know what I've ever heard. Like, I can't even wrap my mind around that thinking. That's what hyper-partisanship does. This was not an issue of race, but they try to, even I've seen people try to engage in mental gymnastics and say, oh, it's about race because the riots were about Jacob Blake. Okay, that has nothing to do with Kyle Rittenhouse. He didn't do it. Right. He wasn't there when that happened. Like, this was a case where they got into a conflict. Some people were the aggressors, and the aggressors got shot, and two of them got killed. It has nothing to do with race. Like, Kyle Rittenhouse wasn't thinking, these people probably like Black people, so I think I'm going to shoot them. Like, that is some of the most ridiculous crap I've ever heard. But the thing is they have to inject a racial narrative because that's what the hard left does. It's all they know how to do. So when it's something like this, it's like, oh, well, these white people were ostensibly standing up for Black people because they were with Black Lives Matter and they were protesting Jacob Blake's death. I don't care what they think they were doing. I care about what they actually were doing. And what they were doing had nothing to do with benefiting Black people or safeguarding Black lives. It's the typical white progressive bullshit. They don't care about Black people. They care about pushing an agenda. So this was not a racial issue. They're going to inject the white supremacy narrative because that's what they're going to do. And that's what they're always going to do every time the situation is brought up. And they're going to use it as an example of white supremacy when it doesn't fit.
And the problem to me with that, bro, is it damages, like, it's like the boy who cried wolf. When you keep doing that, it hurts the case when real white supremacy happens, because it allows people who want to ignore it in the first place to just be able to write it off. It was like the Jesse Smollett case, the Smollett, right? It was the same thing. Like, that was so damaging that people, and you've seen it on social media, that now when some real stuff happened, the first thing they say, oh, this is another Juicy Smollett case.
Exactly. But it tells me, and I've said this for years, it just further illustrates that these people don't care about white supremacy. They don't care about racism. They don't care about bigotry. They love white supremacy. They love racism. They love bigotry. Like, they don't see these things as societal ills that need to be addressed. They see them as a social phenomenon that they want to weaponize. It's nothing more, nothing less. All they see this as is a weapon that they can use against their political opposition, which is why they don't care if they're crying wolf or if they're diluting the meaning of racism. They're doing this because they want to push an agenda. They want to get ahead. They want to dominate the conversation. And this is the avenue through which they do that.
And I also think, too, that some of these people, this is their only ticket to relevance. There's a lot of people who, I'm not going to say names because I don't want to start no mess, not today, but there are people who would not be relevant if it wasn't for that conversation, if it wasn't for talking about white supremacy, talking about white supremacists. No one would care about what they have to say because they're not very impressive people otherwise.
That's true. I mean, Martin Luther Cream, I don't see what else he'd be doing if it's
Oh, you mean Malcolm X?
Malcolm X, yes, yeah. W.E.B. DeFraud, yeah. Right. I don't know what, you're right, but it is, it's a grift. It's a very lucrative grift. I know we got our grifters here on the right, but the left has them too. And I will say that the ones on the left are even more dangerous because they, not, to get money, they have to sow division, like deep division, by pretending that everything is racist, everything is white supremacist. And these are the people that don't really care about the people that they claim to protect. Maybe some of them do. Maybe some of them are just as deceived as the people that they're helping to deceive. But in the end, it's about clout. It's about getting the bag. I mean, and that is a very effective way to do it.
More with Jeff Charles when we come back here on The Outlaws.
Do you have what it takes to be a YouTuber, vlogger, or producer? Do you dream of having your own lifestyle or sports podcast? If you're like me, all these thoughts run through your head and then the excuses come. I don't know where to start. I don't have money to get this going. I don't have podcast equipment. Stop making excuses. Ohio Media School, the Be On Air Network, and the FCB Radio Network are helping you put an end to excuses. Ohio Media School and the Be On Air Network have been training people like you and me in broadcast media for over 30 years. They can show you the way to be your own boss and build your own brand by training you in just 8 short months. And they offer financial aid for those who qualify. Now, I know what you're thinking. I still don't have podcast equipment. Well, you can win an at-home podcast studio for free, courtesy of the FCB Radio Network. All you have to do is register now to win. Visit fcbradio.com/OMS contest. That's fcbradio.com/OMS contest. And sign up now for a chance to win. Call Ohio Media School now and schedule a tour and see what your future holds. 216-503-5900.
Real talk, real conversations.
We got the heat.
Give me the real.
Hell yeah.
This is the Outlaws Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Outlaws. We'll jump right back into our interview with Jeff Charles. So we're talking with Jeff Charles, who's host of A Fresh Perspective with Jeff Charles and contributor at redstate.com. So let's talk a little bit about the case that Black people should actually care about. And that's the Ahmaud Arbery case. I find it very interesting that we're having this entire conversation about white supremacy and racism, and you have a case where I believe there is real white supremacy and real racism, and the usual suspects are more mad about the white guy who shot white people than talking about these hillbillies who just essentially modern day lynched this Black man.
You know, I think, you know, because a lot of people were asking, why are we so focused on Kyle Rittenhouse when the death of Ahmaud Arbery's trial is going on? And I think it's because they can't use the Ahmaud Arbery trial that much. The reason why is because everybody agrees about it. With Kyle Rittenhouse, that's controversial. People disagree on that. Nobody disagrees with the fact that these men need to go down. I mean, you've got some fringe people on the right who are trying to defend these guys, but they don't represent even a significant chunk of conservatives who looked at that situation and said Ahmaud Arbery didn't deserve to die. So that's the thing about this case is that it doesn't it's not just the shooting itself that represents white supremacy. It's how it was handled afterwards.
Yes.
It was how that corrupt government, that corrupt district attorney intervened to make sure that these men did not get arrested. That's standard operating procedure in any state. If you kill somebody, even in self-defense, they have to arrest you. Now, they might let you out later, but they have to take you in because that's what they do. And she made sure that this didn't happen because the father, Gregory McMichael, had worked with her in the past. So that's corruption. But even after she had to recuse herself, the next district attorney basically wrote a memo defending them and creating the citizen's arrest defense because they never said anything about citizen's arrest. It was this, his last name was Barnhill, this next prosecutor who said, I'm not going to charge these people because Ahmaud Arbery had mental health issues and they were just trying to do a citizen's arrest. He ended up having to recuse himself too. So the third guy takes over. And by now it is very much clear that they had no intention of even bringing these men to trial, of even indicting them, even though they had more than enough evidence to do so. The only reason these men were charged is because that video was leaked and it went viral. That is corruption. That wouldn't have happened if they had shot a white kid down in that same way. It just wouldn't have happened that way. That's where we have to do, like you talk about systemic racism. That's the kind of stuff we're talking about here.
That's a perfect example. Like you couldn't, that is a textbook. I mean, dude, it, that whole thing looked like an episode of In the Heat of the Night. Like this is, this is textbook racism, textbook systemic racism. And the fact that everybody's all caught up in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, I, like I said, as an American, I care about it because I care about what's right. But as a Black man, I don't give a damn about that case. Yeah. I care about the Ahmaud Arbery case because it was so egregious. Not only what they did was so egregious, but everything, like you just said, everything that happened after that made it worse. And had that video not gone viral, they would have gotten away with it.
Yep. Yep. They would have. There's no way that they wouldn't have, because they just weren't going to charge the case. And to me, it's like, and we're talking about prosecutorial misconduct, right? We were just talking about that. That's what this is. That is exactly what this is. Yes, they have a judgment call to make as to whether they're going to prosecute a certain case or whatever, but you're supposed, again, you're supposed to make that decision based on justice, not on your personal preference, or I knew this guy a while back, so I'm just going to let him get off even though he killed somebody. Like, it's just, it blew my mind when I saw, when all that stuff started coming out. And by the way, I will say this, the first yay, Jackie Johnson, the one who intervened and made sure that they didn't get arrested, she is under indictment for that. So good. That's a good thing. So that is kind of the system trying to correct itself. But here's the thing. How many other times has this happened that we don't even know about? There's not always going to be a viral video, and 9.9% of cases, there isn't. So it makes me wonder how much more often does this happen in Georgia and in other states? I would be terrified to see the number if that were even available.
And I think this is why I think this is another example of why this, we should be analyzing this case far more, because this is a textbook example of everything that Black people have been talking about. Like, this is,
it is
a clear-cut example from the fact that they basically lynched this guy in the first place, to the fact that they had all of this misconduct, and the fact that it was a viral video that caused this thing to go to trial anyway. And on top of that, if we're going to talk about self-defense, and now let's talk about some of these hypocrites. If we're going to talk about self-defense, if Kyle Rittenhouse had the right to self-defense, doesn't Ahmaud Arbery?
That's what pisses me off about this whole thing, because you have these people saying, well, he shouldn't have tried to grab the gun. You moron. Like, you would have, first off, it's already in the transcripts that Roddy Bryan was saying it looked like Ahmaud Arbery had gotten tired from running. So at that moment, it was like, it's either now or never. I'm not going to be able to keep running. These guys are going to get me. I have to fight. If anything, Ahmaud Arbery had more of a justification for what he did than Kyle Rittenhouse did, because Kyle Rittenhouse put himself in that position. Mm-hmm. And they were chasing him and he was trying to run away, but still, he brought the gun into that situation. And everybody knows that when you're a gun owner, if you carry, you have a higher level of responsibility, because again, you are bringing the gun into that situation. Ahmaud Arbery had no gun. It was these three rednecks that had the guns. So if anything, he had more of a right to try to defend himself. Now, I understand some people who are saying, you know, I wish he would have ran the other way, because then maybe he would have survived. I get that. That's what I felt too. But the ones who are saying, oh, he was wrong, he shouldn't have attacked him, he shouldn't have punched him. Yeah, he should have. I mean, or he shouldn't have. But if he is going to defend himself, that's how you have to do it. It's the height of hypocrisy. And yes, I do think, at least with the small subset, it is based on race. They think that because Ahmaud Arbery was Black and these men were white, he should have stopped and listened to what they said and gone along with whatever they wanted, because he isn't as superior as they are. I don't think that represents even most of these people, but I think there is at least a small subsection. And you can tell by how irrational their arguments are. If you are more concerned with the fact that Ahmaud Arbery walked into a construction site and then ran away, and then attack that guy with a gun, then I'm kind of looking at you sideways. because there's plenty of more other wrongdoing on the part of the McMichaels and Brian. They could have called the police, and the prosecutor has been hammering this home. They could have called the police at any time during that interaction. They didn't have to do what they did. They were the ones who were in the wrong.
Absolutely. And like we've talked about again on social media to some of these morons, I believe, and I wish that I could almost respect it if they were just honest and say, look, we think he was wrong because he's black. And, and because y'all stronger than us, y'all hit harder than us, so we think you a threat.
Our wives want to sleep with you.
Right. Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, I would respect it if you was just honest and say, look, we perceive y'all to be a threat because you are black, period. Then try to tie yourself up in knots with these BS logic that makes no sense, where you argue the exact opposite in the Rittenhouse case.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's what I call the MSU strategy. Make shit up. Like, you just make stuff up. And if you remember, like, when this whole thing came out, people were making stuff up. Oh, he was wearing work boots. No, he wasn't. You just froze a picture at a point to where it would look like he was wearing work boots. If you actually watch the footage of him in the house, it's clear that he's wearing running shoes. The autopsy found that he was wearing running shoes. Oh, he had a hammer. He took a hammer. No, Larry English said that nothing was stolen from the construction site. And that little dot that you see on the road, that's not a hammer. He didn't throw anything. It doesn't even show him throwing anything. Oh, well, and they, you know, they just make stuff up. And they deceive people into thinking that Ahmaud Arbery was some kind of thug and that he was there for nefarious purposes. I've been asking, you probably see me on Twitter. I've been asking, okay, if you're going to say that he wasn't jogging, then what was he doing? What does the evidence show? Witnesses, family, friends, neighbors. There were four neighbors that were willing to testify that they had seen him running on a regular basis. He was known to be a jogger. So there's more evidence that he was a jogger than the other way around, but they still choose to believe it. Because even the ones who agree that the McMichaels were wrong, they still, for some reason, need to believe that he was up to no good. Even if they know it doesn't justify it, it's a sick thing that's been embedded in the psyche of some of these people. They've been conditioned to believe that black is wrong, or if it's black, then that means that they were doing something wrong. In this particular case, yeah, he had a record, but in this instance, the worst thing he did was walk into a construction site, which is something that every single one of us has done.
And you know what? You know what, man? I'm going to give you my theory on that, and I want to know what you think. You brought up a very good point about people having, they just have to believe, even people who believe he shouldn't have been killed, they just have to think that he was doing something wrong. And I think there's a reason for that. I think some of them are just racist and haven't dealt with that, but I don't think all of them are textbook racist. I think that there are some people who have to rationalize this incident that way, because if they don't, it shakes up their entire worldview. Right?
Cognitive dissonance.
Yeah, I think there are some people who just don't want to deal with the fact that the world may not be Mayberry like you thought it was. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. that it may not be everything that you thought. And I think people have a hard time because they haven't had to wrestle with this like we've had to wrestle with it. In other words, coming to the conclusion that America is the greatest country on earth, but it still has its problems.
Sure.
Right? They haven't had to rationalize and wrestle with, well, I'm a proud American. Well, you can be a proud American and still acknowledge that we have some problems. And I think people are so binary. Some people are so binary in their thinking,
yeah,
that they haven't had to go through the process of rationalizing our strengths and our weaknesses, are the good things in our past and the bad things in our past. So when the situation happens like this, where it's so clear cut and obvious, they just can't, they have to find it out because they're not ready to let go of Mayberry yet.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. And the thing is, a lot of them haven't really experienced a lot of the things that Black people have experienced. They don't have the same history. That's not their fault. I mean, they right. just didn't grow up that way. It's like, you know, when you talk about the 4th of July, they're not thinking about how Black people weren't free at that time, even though it's Independence Day. We do. It doesn't mean that we hate the holiday. It doesn't mean that we don't celebrate the holiday. But yeah, that's going to be in our minds as we celebrate. Yeah, great country. But you know what? This day was not for us originally. Maybe we can argue that it is now, but it wasn't then before. And it's okay to acknowledge that. It doesn't mean anybody's bad. It doesn't mean that white people are bad because they don't think about that on the 4th of July. But the experiences are different. What's been handed down is different. So I think what happens is when you get all of your information about Black people from the media, yeah, you are going to come away believing that Black people are always wrong. And a lot of white conservatives haven't been around Black people that way, just because of the way geography is. Has nothing to do with racism. But if you grew up in a rural area in the Midwest, you haven't been around a lot of Black people. So right. if everything you know comes from the media, then that's what you're going to think, especially if, unfortunately, if you consume conservative media, because they've been pumping that message out for decades. I think it's just now starting to change, which is good. But to me, that's why I said that they've been conditioned to think this way. So if you basically show them evidence that Aubrey was not doing anything wrong, it gives them cognitive dissonance, and nobody likes to experience cognitive dissonance.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're talking with Jeff Charles, host of A Fresh Perspective with Jeff Charles, contributor at redstate.com. And actually on A Fresh Perspective right now, you are doing a series about how the GOP lost the Black vote. Talk briefly a little bit about that, because I think it ties into also some of the things you were just saying about some of the messages that are presented to conservative media and how it kind of reinforces that divide, because it feeds people who don't know, in some cases, who don't know any better, messages that are incorrect about Black people.
Yeah. You know, it was originally like a 3-hour live stream that I did on YouTube, and I broke it down into different nuggets to make it easier to consume. But basically what I'm doing is I've gone through the history of the Black community and the Republican Party. When the Republican Party started, it was very much a Black-oriented party. That's not the only thing they looked at, but yeah, they want to free the slaves and do even more for Black people. Black people and the Republicans were very close, and we know how that ended up turning out. But the problem is that most conservatives don't know why it turned out that way. They don't know the history behind it, or they've been fed kind of just part of the story, but not the full story. And the reason that I did the series is because if we're going to fix this problem, we need to know if we need to fix the problem of Republicans not being able to get Black votes, we need to know how it got there in the first place. So part one is already up, and we'll be dropping part two soon. It's going to be very educational and very instructive. Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you my thoughts, and I want to know your response to this. For me, politically, now I personally think, generally speaking, both parties are full of crap, right?
Yep.
Just want to put that out there.
Of course, yeah.
But I believe, I truly, truly believe that it is not in the best interest of Black people to have all of our political capital on one side of the aisle, because it creates an incentive for the parties to not compete for your vote. So we end up in this situation where I believe one party ignores us and the other one exploits us. So our issues never get addressed. And I don't think that is in Black people's best interest. I think there should be competition for our votes, just like there's competition for the Hispanic community's votes, just like there's competition for the Jewish community's votes, just like there's competition for the Asian community's vote, for everybody else's votes. I think there should be competition for our votes as well, because it actually incentivizes the political system to address your needs. They don't care about us. They don't care about anybody. A person who worked high up in politics told me one time, all the system cares about is money or votes. If you can't bring them money and you can't bring them votes, they like beat it. You know what I mean? Like, they don't really care about you if you can't bring money or votes. So I believe that the way the system is set up, it's not in Black people's best interest to not make both of these parties compete for our vote.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's funny. I even tell Republicans, and most of them get it. But I mean, I have some, like, when I say, I don't want Black people voting 90% for Republicans either.
Right.
And then some of them are like, whoa, why not go? Well, because the Republicans.
We know what happens when.
We've already done that. We've already gone down that road. Yeah,
the many Democrats are doing to us now.
Yeah, the GOP will do the exact same thing. I want this as close to 50-50 as we can get, because that's when we will have at least a modicum of political power. When they know that we're not just going to vote for them automatically, then now they've got to do some stuff. I mean, I've even heard Democrats say this. I would like for the Republican Party to compete more, because that means that even if the Democrats win, that means they have to actually do something, because now we might go the other way. It used to be that way, but it's not anymore. But and that's one of the reasons why this is such a priority for me. This is why this is one of my primary focuses, because to me, it's like they say, well, why aren't you trying to get more Black people over here? I mean, I'll go on Black media and I talk about it. I want them to hear conservative positions. But I mean, I can't tell them to come over here when we're elevating people whose platforms are entirely based on demeaning and lying about and denigrating the Black community. What am I going to bring them over to? They're going to see that and be like, oh, I don't think I'm welcome here. I need to change things on the right first before we can really push that.
So since you brought it up, let's go there a little bit as we get ready to wind this thing down. Who you talking about, brother?
See, I knew you were gonna try to get me into trouble. See,
you are, hey, you own the Outlaws. You've listened to this show before. You know what it is.
Yeah, I know what I signed up for. But seriously, I mean, you know, the obvious answer is Candace Owens, but I don't even want to focus on her because she is not the first. She's just one of many. She doesn't have her own thoughts. What she says is parroted from people that came before her. I mean, you've got your Larry Elders. You've got, you know, Stacey Dash to a certain extent. I like Stacey Dash, but she was peddling a lot of that nonsense too. Brandon Tatum. This has been going on for decades. It isn't new. So these people echo these talking points, and they're the ones. And I don't even have a problem with the fact that they have a platform. What I have the problem with is that there's no diversity among Black conservative voices, because conservative media up to this point has only allowed the Black conservative voices that say what they want them to say on the air. They're the only ones that get promoted. Everybody else gets gatekeeped. Now, I think that's starting to change too. I mean, I'm seeing some stuff on Fox News that I'm liking, you know, with Lawrence B. Jones.
Shout out to my homie, Lawrence. Yep. That's right. That's the homie.
I like what he's doing. I appreciate what he's doing, because it's important to get alternative Black conservative voices out there. I fully believe that if white conservatives, I'm going to speak directly to white conservatives, because I always say this, the vast majority of white conservatives would love to help the Black community and have conservative positions. I think that if you ask the average white conservative if they would like to see more Black people over on the right, 96, 7, 8% of them are going to say, yes, we would love to see that. We just don't know what to do or how to go about that. I think that if you put voices like you and voices like ours against the Black conservative voices that they're used to hearing, and they're actually given a fair hearing, they're not going to choose that other approach anymore, because they've been doing it for 6 years and it hasn't worked. When you think about somebody like King Randall, who's actually doing work in the community, physically boots on the ground, and you see people like that, that's much easier to sell to white conservatives. I would love to see them support something like that. And I think they would love to do it, because they support King Randall right now. But if there's others like him, I think that's where this whole thing is going. So so I name names, but I also name the names of people doing good too.
Right. So make sure y'all go follow the people that he's talking about that's doing good work too. Make sure y'all follow that. So as we get ready to close, our colleague and our co-host Dante wanted to make sure that I got this question into you. he texts this, and I'm going to read it verbatim. He said, "Hey, make sure you ask Jeff why he be so emotional on Twitter about this woman. We need details."
Oh man, I should have known that was coming. I don't know why I didn't. Like, I'm thinking we're gonna talk
from me. It came from Dante.
Yeah, yeah, I bet it did. I bet it did.
Hey, and Robin can testify. He said it in the, he said it in the group chat. Robin, didn't he say that?
He did. Y'all got me on your diet.
You know, I'll say this. I'm not going to say much about it, but I will say, you know, I think some people are assuming that, you know, this is a, somebody that I just met last week. We've actually been talking for a while and it just kind of progressed, and it's an awesome thing. I'm, you know, it's good stuff. I'm glad. Honestly, I mean, I never thought I would actually be in this position because I was so against it before, but
yeah, you know, like a month ago.
So a lot of that is me joking, but I mean, earlier on I was halfway joking, but I guess I've kind of come around. I guess it happens, but yeah, it's awesome. It's good stuff.
That's what's up, man. Well, congratulations. I know who she is, man, and I'm happy for you. I do think, like Kevin Hart said, y'all do some overlove a little bit, but
some of that I'm just doing for fun, just to kind of get making people want to guess. But
it's a good thing when a man brags about you on social media.
Oh, here she goes. Wait, say what?
You don't got me started, Darvio.
Oh boy, now you done got me in some mess. All right, so but hey, I will say this though, Jeff, the poster that you've been making got Hotep Jesus on your ass.
Yeah, the Hoteps love to make fun of me. I love it. I love those guys. Like, but yeah, they did a whole episode about it.
Oh wow.
Yeah, they did, Robin. I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, but they did a whole episode on what was the title of it? It was
Should You Tell Her You Like Her? And it was him and Wendy. And the reason why I said that it wasn't just like I just met her last week is because if you watch the video, it kind of seems like they have that impression, which it's not their fault because I haven't said this publicly until now. Thank you, Dante. But yeah, I hadn't really said anything about it. So I could see why they would make that assumption.
Right.
Thank you, Dante.
Right. All right, brother. Let everybody know, man, how to follow you on social media, man, how they can get the show and all that good stuff.
Yeah, you can get me at A Fresh Perspective with Jeff Charles on YouTube and also at my audio only podcast, wherever you get your podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff on the Right, and you can read my stuff at redstate.com and libertynation.com.
All right, man. I appreciate you coming on the show, man. It went longer than we planned, but that's how it is when family get together, man. So
it is.
All right, stay tuned. We'll be back with more of the Outlaws after this.
Do you have what it takes to be a YouTuber, vlogger, or producer? Do you dream of having your own lifestyle or sports podcast? If you're like me, all these thoughts run through your head and then the excuses come. I don't know where to start. I don't have money to get this going. I don't have podcast equipment. Stop making excuses. Ohio Media School, the Be On Air Network, and the FCB Radio Network are helping you put an end to excuses. Ohio Media School and the Be On Air Network have been training people like you and me in broadcast media for over 30 years. They can show you the way to be your own boss and build your own brand by training you in just 8 short months. And they offer financial aid for those who qualify. Now, I know what you're thinking. I still don't have podcast equipment. Well, you can win an at-home podcast studio for free, courtesy of the FCB Radio Network. All you have to do is register now to win. Visit fcbradio.com/OMS contest. That's fcbradio.com/OMS contest. And sign up now for a chance to win. Call Ohio Media School now and schedule a tour and see what your future holds. 216-503-5900.
This is the Outlaws Radio Show.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Outlaws. I want to send a special shout out one more time to my brother Jeff Charles for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. And now is the time of the show that we like to call Tea Time with Ro.
Turn it up. I don't see no competition. The latest celebrity news and gossip. So you better ask permission. It's Tea Time with Ro on the Outlaws Radio Show. If you wanna
roll with me. All right, y'all. So today on Tea Time, I have a few things that I'm going to be spilling the tea on and talking about and whatnot. So the first thing is, just recently, a few days ago, the rapper Young Dolph was shot and killed in Memphis, which is his hometown. He went to go purchase some cookies for his mother from a local bakery that he liked to support a lot of the local businesses. And he seemed to be a very good, supportive man. Even though he was a celebrity, he still gave back to his community and tried to do what he could.
Right.
But there were a couple of men that walked up to the bakery, and immediately, just moments after Young Dolph stepped into the cookie shop, and they shot him. And he leaves behind two little ones and a wife.
This story really disturbs me, because for a number of reasons. Here's another young man, a successful man who made it out and is killed. I'm sick and tired of seeing this. It's like not even success can save you from being murdered. I just find the whole thing to be so sad. People become hypnotized by hatred. I think it's just another example of our greed and grievance culture rearing its ugly head, that there was someone or someones that were so angry at this man's success that they felt the need to kill him. It's just sad. It's just really, really, really sad. Robin, if you want to add anything on that, and then we can go to the next topic.
Actually, I do real quick. So, following his passing, the councilman, actually, he had issued a citywide curfew following the shooting of Young Dolph. And a lot of people are saying that's because there is probably going to be a retaliation to the loss of him.
Wow. I'm really sorry to hear that. I'm really, really sorry to hear that. All right, next topic.
All right, so here on the next one, this one is a little bit more up. So this next one is, if you know who Tony Roman is, Tammy Roman, my apologies, Tammy Roman and Reggie Youngblood. Mm-hmm. So Tammy Roman and Reggie Youngblood are a married couple. They've been together for quite some time. And Tammy, she has her own children from a previous relationship. But Reggie Youngblood does not have any children. And Tammy said to him, she gave him basically a free card to, they can separate for about a year or two, and he can go out and have a baby with another woman just to have his, what is the word I'm looking for, Darvio?
Legacy.
Thank you. His legacy, to have his legacy around.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, I can tell you how I feel about it. I think it's dumb as hell. And the reason why I think it's dumb as hell is, I just don't understand I just don't understand the logic. I'm gonna let him go cheat. Now, so the issue is, let's recap this. So the issue is, she cannot have kids.
No, she don't want any more kids. And she also does not want to go through the whole egg thing, surrogate, et cetera, et cetera. She said it's too much of a process.
You know how long they've been together?
You know what? I'm not sure of that answer. I know that they've been married for some time.
Okay, so nobody thought to have this damn conversation before they got married? No. Nobody thought to have this damn conversation while they were dating? Nobody. At any time in this process, did anybody think, maybe we should talk about if you want kids and I don't want no more. Maybe we should talk about that.
Right. And like, that's definitely a conversation to have.
Yes. Like, that's why this is so stupid. So now it's like, we are married, but I'm going to let you go cheat so you can have your legacy. That is just so stupid.
Yeah, I really feel like a surrogate would have been the smarter way to go.
Yes. Yes. I mean, come on, man.
Ain't no way. Because then, like, and here's my other question, okay? What if he falls in love with this other woman and he decides to go with baby mama instead of wife?
Come on. That's exactly the problem. That's exactly why this is dumb as hell. Like, this is just... But you know what it is? It is people are so frivolous with marriage. Like, people don't even look at marriage as what it is anymore. Marriage is sacred.
Yeah, you know what? And it seems like a lot of people do not have those right conversations that should be had in the dating process.
No. Marriage is a covenant, a contract that you and your spouse, that a husband and a wife makes between each other and God. You are married. And you think it's a good idea. Hey, he want kids, and I know he want kids, but I don't want no more kids, so I'm going to let him go cheat. How dumb is you?
Mm-mm.
Dumb. That's because I don't give a damn. I don't give a damn how you look at it. I don't care how you... Well, I gave him permission. He's still cheating.
Right, and then, like, seriously, like, if, okay, like, let's say me, like, if I don't want no more children, right, I've had my fair share of fun, okay, so, like, that would be, like, me going out and getting with a man that wants more, that wants to have children, like, that would be dumb, it'd be pointless.
Right, if you don't want no more kids, don't get with somebody who wants kids.
Right.
Duh.
Like, oh, right. I want you, but like, I mean, I don't want nobody else to have you, but I want someone else to like have your, okay.
Where they do that at?
In their household.
Where do they do that at?
In Tammy's household.
We gotta go to break, man. I got one more thing I need to discuss with y'all when we come back. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Outlaws.
Yo, what's up? Bring the noise right here. Chuck D, Public Enemy number one. You are tuned in The Outlaws Radio Show.
Yeah, this is Chris Gotti, and you're listening to the number one radio show, The Outlaws. You heard me? Adventure Music supports Chris Gotti. Go check him out.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, comedian, actress Coco Brown, and you're listening to The Outlaws Radio Show.
Yo, what's good? It's your boy, SNMJT, and I'm with Outlaws.
Do you have what it takes to be a YouTuber, vlogger, or producer? Do you dream of having your own lifestyle or sports podcast? If you're like me, all these thoughts run through your head and then the excuses come. I don't know where to start. I don't have money to get this going. I don't have podcast equipment. Stop making excuses. Ohio Media School, the Be On Air Network, and the FCB Radio Network are helping you put an end to excuses. Ohio Media School and the Be On Air Network have been training people like you and me in broadcast media for over 30 years. They can show you the way to be your own boss and build your own brand by training you in just 8 short months. And they offer financial aid for those who qualify. Now, I know what you're thinking. I still don't have podcast equipment. Well, you can win an at-home podcast studio for free courtesy of the FCB Radio Network. All you have to do is register now to win. Visit fcbradio.com/OMS contest. That's fcbradio.com/OMS contest. And sign up now for a chance to win. Call Ohio Media School now and schedule a tour and see what your future holds. 216-503-5900.
Welcome back to the Outlaw Radio Show.
Welcome back, welcome back. You're listening to The Outlaws. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you listen to this show on Apple, please make sure you leave us a 5-star review and a comment, please. It's very important for the algorithm. And for those of you who have already done so, thank you oh so very much. Now, before we leave you today, I have something that I want to talk about. Something that occurred today that has really pissed me off. Those of you who have listened to this show know that before the election a couple of weeks ago, we spent a lot of time talking about issue 24, which was the police reform bill that ended up passing by the voters. And I hate to be right on bad stuff, but I told you so. I told you, listeners to this show know, that I told you that I had grave concerns with it. You've heard other people say that they had grave concerns with it, including our current mayor, who's a black man, our current chief of police, who's a black man, among other people who have been on this show sharing their concerns. Yet the voters, as well as our new mayor-elect, supported it. And now I want to tell you about something that happened to the elderly mother of a family friend today. Okay, excuse me. This person has been unfortunately dealing with a relative who is a meth addict, who has broken in her house numerous times to steal things and has already put their hands on her violently. Has already attacked her violently. This is an elderly woman. This woman today, on the day that we're taping this, goes to the clerk of courts to file a restraining order against this man. And guess what the clerk of courts tells her? The clerk of courts tells her that as a result of the new law, they can't handle it anymore. She has to call some social workers to have a mediation in the process of this protection order. Now, mediate what? This person has already been violent. This person is a known drug addict and a thief and has abused an elderly person. But according to this dumbass law that many people on this show told you not to vote for, she has to go see a social worker instead of being able to have the order of protection. I got a problem with that, y'all. I got a problem with that. Because guess what? I see the letter. I've been sent the letter that was given to her No appointment needed. You can walk in. That's good. But they're open from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. Which means, guess what? If something happens at 8 o'clock or 5 o'clock, you are S-O-L. And there are some people, since this this situation has become public on social media, there's two things I want to address. One, there's been people who said, well, she should just call the police. Well, guess what? Unless he's actually, like, physically attacking her at the moment that she's calling the police are not going to come. Because there's nothing they can do about it. And if he's physically attacking her at the moment, she may not live to be able to call the police. That's number one. The other thing that I've heard many people say, that wasn't in the bill. Oh, really? Issue 24 addressed every single thing that has anything to do with the criminal justice system in the city of Cleveland, including the use of social workers and, quote, violence interrupters in the process. So go back and read the bill. And furthermore, here's another thought. Let's say you're right. And, oh, that's not in the bill. Well, the people who work for the clerk of courts thinks it is. And if they do, that's a problem, isn't it? And if the clerk of courts are incorrect and they don't know what's in the bill, that was the damn problem with the bill in the first place. It was too big, too complex, too complicated, and had too much crap in it going in opposite directions. So the bottom line is, regardless of whether you agree with it or not, the clerk of courts told this elderly lady who tried to file a protection order that they couldn't do it because of the new law, and that she had to go deal with mediators when there's nothing to mediate. Protection order, keep his ass away from me or he go to jail. But no, that sounds too much like right. So unfortunately, I don't want to be right about this. We have already seen the problem. Because issue 24 became legal right after it was passed. Took effect immediately. So we're already seeing problems that could jeopardize people's lives. But I hope you feel good because you went to the ballot box and voted for something you did not read because it sounded good. So all of the people, if there's anybody who supported that, who listened to this show, I doubt it, but if there's anybody, or if you know anybody who supported that, you let them know. I hope you're happy. The changes have already begun, and they're not very good. Robin, your thoughts.
So basically that means the city will be even more unsafe than what it was already.
Ding.
It sounds to me like a lot of people are going to be getting away with things and, oh, you're allowed to attack people now, apparently.
Can't get a order of protection. So you go talk to some social workers for me.
First and foremost, there are a few good cops, you know, Cleveland cops. Mm-hmm. I will say that first. Mm-hmm. But other than them, the few good ones, half the time they are the police. Cleveland police already didn't show up to scenes on time anyway. Mm-hmm. But however, now they just can't show up at all, right?
It's gonna make it worse.
House robberies and attacks and or somebody taunting somebody, such as this elderly woman. So now this elderly woman has to fear for her life.
Yep.
And she has the people that are supposed to be there to protect her are not going to be able to protect her because this bill that has passed.
Correct. She has two options now. She has to either fear for her life or get a pistol and be ready to shoot somebody.
And that was my first thought. And I didn't want to say it, but you said it. So thanks.
We're not encouraging that, but hey, you have the right to self-defense. Like you have the right. To
yeah. Yeah. In other words, get you protection.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And the fact of the matter is, I told somebody who wanted to debate with me about the law. I said, look, first of all, I believe it's in the law. Like I've read the bill and it impacts everything that has anything to do with the criminal justice system in Cleveland. But if you believe it's not, the fact that the clerk of courts believes that it is, that's a problem. That's a problem. So, that's unfortunate. I pray for our family friend's mother. But I hope that people are happy. I hope that you feel real good about yourselves for voting for something that you did not read and listening to people who either lied to you or were uninformed about what these changes were going to bring.
And that's probably more than likely what it was. People are just circling and filling in bubbles of anything. They just voted for the particular person or particular thing that they wanted to vote for. And they probably just filled in bubbles and listened to whatever was put into their ear.
Ding. Exactly.
Pray for the city, man. Pray for the city.
Absolutely. Let them know how to follow you, Miss O'Malley.
Yeah. So y'all can follow me on Instagram at Real Robin O'Malley, and you can follow me on Twitter at Real Robin O.
You hear how immediately excited she got when she got to plug her social media?
Follow me. I love followers. I follow back.
Man, you can follow me at Duda Kingpin everywhere. That's DTHEKINGPIN. One more time, shout out to Jeff Charles from A Fresh Perspective with Jeff Charles for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. We are out of here. We'll see you next time. Peace.
The FCB Radio Network, first-class broadcasting worldwide.